ESPN 1480.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, we get better and better. We get better and better. We get
BB. Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you on a Friday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Holiday weekend for you. Remember those who have served. For sure, for sure. And we are busy. We are loaded. We are awaiting the end of the Nebraska-Iowa baseball game. And can spend it with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Mike Babcock, HailVarsity.com and magazine, follows Nebraska baseball. We'll join Babbers here in about 15 minutes. Bottom of the eighth right now. Iowa batting, one on, one out. And Iowa leading 2-0. I mean, I don't know about you, but I had the overs in this one based on how Iowa's offense is and based on how many runs Nebraska's put up their last two games. But you get a day off, which is good, but sometimes the offense slows down. So we will keep you up to date on Nebraska baseball. If Nebraska pulls this thing out and gets a win, we may have a Husker player join us from Bloomington. Maybe. Mike Babcock, for sure, 15 minutes. 1 hour from now, the pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, will be with us. Bill's doing the Big 12 baseball tournament, so Billy D will join us down there from Oklahoma City. Jeremiah Searles, our favorite Viking, will be by. We'll talk some Nebraska football with him. And Clausburn with the Friday forecast. We'll hit NHL, and we will dive into the NBA Finals that are 38 weeks away. Kidding. Can tap the line today if you want, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Tap the line courtesy of Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. So right now, Nebraska trying to get out of this. Waldron's come in, done well. Here's what you need to know about the game today. First and foremost, Nebraska had the bases loaded last half inning. Ryan Erickson for Iowa has been incredible. 7 2/3, 10 singles, 11 stranded on base for Nebraska, including the bases loaded in the eighth with two out, and Mojo came up and popped up. So Nebraska's had their chances. With no out, with one out, with two out, there's been double plays, and Iowa has found a way to get out. So let's talk some football while we wait on baseball. And a lot of things this week. I mean, it's been pinata week for Nebraska. They've been punched and poked and questioned, and it's been well documented and well covered. But some good news if you're a gambler. Teej, new numbers out. New and improved numbers out from the friends in Vegas.
Yeah, the CG technology. Maybe they were listening to our show a week ago and were like, hey, maybe we should move that number up a bit.
Well, I think they're just trying to go fishing and get even money and then have one monster 10%.
Okay? Yeah, but I mean,
that's what they want.
They have the biggest move so far. Nebraska goes up by a game and a half while everybody else just goes up half a game.
Right.
So,
well, I think
pretty big jump.
Listen, here's what it comes down to for Nebraska and their schedule. I mean, you have your hit makers. What's going to make you popular and respected nationally and for sure locally? That's if you beat Iowa. That's if you beat Wisconsin. I think you're expected to beat Iowa, but you can't. But if you beat Wisconsin, you beat Ohio State, you beat Penn State. Anyone out of the East you take down, you get props for that, and deservedly so. You're supposed to win the West. And honestly, you got Iowa, you have Northwestern, you have Minnesota. And right now, those are coin flip games to a lot of fans, and those are coin flip games to Vegas. But I look at it this way. as CG Technology has jumped the number from 6 to 7.5. That is about right.
That's right. No, it is.
I mean, 8 and 4 is where it's at, and you have 5 that you feel really good about, and then do you go get Oregon to make it 6, and then do you go get Iowa to make it 7, and do you go get Northwestern and Minnesota to make it 8 or 9? I mean, look how last year shook out. Some of the question mark games: Oregon, win. Minnesota, win. Northwestern, win. Ohio State, Wisconsin, probably losses. I mean, Nebraska ended up where you thought they'd end up, with the Iowa question mark. You just didn't like how it ended.
Yeah.
So, listen, I look at Nebraska like this, and they should. Listen, my expectation is this. They need to sweep Iowa, Northwestern, and Minnesota. 2 are at home, 1's on the road. If you're a program of substance, you go get those wins because you've done it before, and talent-wise, you can do it again. That's where I'm at. The coin flip games, you split Wisconsin or you split Oregon. You get one of those two. And then if you go 0 for 2 against Penn State and Ohio State, you don't want it, but you can understand it. That's kind of my thinking here. What would cause Nebraska to drift back to 6 or be under that 7.5? Injury, suspension, that type of act of God out of control.
Or maybe you fall flat on your face again like you did first year in a rally with performances with Purdue and at Illinois.
See, I think that's out of their system. I think that was a point where some of your senior leaders or junior leaders just were more interested in doing their own thing and getting to the league because the guys they wanted to play for were no longer here. That's what that was. That isn't right, but it is what it is. Are you professional enough to go play for the guys next year and as a team go do it, or are some guys just going to go through it the hard way and listen, you're not my D-line coach, you're not my D-coordinator, I don't want to be there for you, or I'll pick and choose. And finally it took to bottoming out against Purdue to snap out of it and say, man, this is embarrassing. This is beyond me. But I'm part of this embarrassment. So I think that was a whole different situation. That wasn't about talent. That wasn't about scheme. That was straight up about buy-in. Because you don't go crush Minnesota.
Yeah, but you also don't ask your backup quarterback to throw it over 50 times.
No, you don't.
But a lot of it was also because your defense, you can't let Purdue score that many points, so you had to throw it. But still, like, shouldn't ask your court backup.
It was one of those
start to do that.
But it was one of those expletive shows.
It was.
Okay.
It really was.
People, you'd had it. So
I mean, but also to that Illinois game, throwing so many times into that wind, that was inexcusable as well.
We'll just never know. I mean, we'll know that day will go down in infamy, both. But we'll just never know. Someday, maybe we'll sit down with an OC or a head coach or even a quarterback over a drink and say, what in the hell actually happened? Were you freelancing? Were you sabotaging? Were you thinking outside the box for everybody? What went on?
Yep, you can write 2 entire chapters on both those games in a book.
Well, you're telling me, would you buy that book, the 2015 season?
I would, actually, yes.
If you could get like a in-depth E! True Hollywood story on it.
Oh, that'd be great. Or Behind the Music, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I went E! True Hollywood story. You went Behind the Music. But both would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you could get that, that'd be good. So Nebraska's got 1 on, 1 out, top of the 9th, still down 2-0. Waldron has been a monster for Nebraska out of the bullpen. So while we are on the topic of Nebraska and new win totals, reconfigured win totals, ways for you to bet on Nebraska and win money, 7.5 is the number. Okay, are you doing it? if you can fly to Vegas tomorrow, what are you doing? Are you betting over
seven and a half,
or are you betting under 7.5?
That is so tough.
Seven and five does not get you the eight.
No.
What are you doing?
Like, if it was the six, I'd completely go over. I have no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, I think they find a way to get seven.
Because when that happened,
do they find
out
a way to get eight is the question.
Yeah, and that's where I have them right now, either 7 and 5 or 8 and 4.
I think they find a way to get eight. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, here's why. Okay? Just hear me.
Okay.
They find a way to get eight because this defense is, yes, it's new, but it's not like, back to your 2015 example, they're not so entrenched with the who, okay? I think a lot of those guys could take or leave their former defensive coordinator. Some of the returners. You had a lot of attrition or early departures just because you're removed from that now, okay? You've had 2 years with Perella. You've had 2 years with Bray. And as far as the secondary goes, I think guys are jibing and enjoying. Again, I'm not in the locker room. I don't hear the wine fests, if there are any. But I know that I think guys like Dante a lot. I think they do. I don't know that they were down with Stewie that much. Or I don't know how well Stewie communicated with him. I don't know what the safeties thought of Banker. Bob will connect and is proven. Whatever you think of Elliott, his track record's phenomenal. So there's proof. So I think because this is all new, and you're not so far along in your career with these guys, that it's okay to shift and change, and maybe pick it up. It's just going to be the communication and setup part of it.
I feel like if you don't start off 5-0, you're not getting to 8 wins. Would you agree with that?
That's a good call. So you're telling me they got to take Oregon.
So I'm saying they stumble at Oregon and go 4-1. Do you think they'd still get to 8 wins?
Yeah, I do, because I think you can make it up. I think you can sweep.
Because then I think you're losing to Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Penn State. So that means you have Purdue, Northwestern, Minnesota, and Iowa.
Listen,
can you go?
Remember Penn State.
Can you go 4-0 in that?
No. Here's where they go. I think they go 3-0, Iowa, Northwestern, Minnesota. And I think they get Wisconsin this year.
You think they're going to get upset one of them? Okay.
Well, remember James Franklin? Remember James Franklin, year three?
Mm-hmm.
Remember James Franklin? What's going on with Franklin? He's been 7-6 and 7-7, and he's a game over 500. And some predicted that he would, but the question was, because he had Michigan and he had Ohio State. New quarterback, unproven defense, sound familiar. Now, they've recruited at a sick talent level his first 2 years there. But I'm just saying, it could happen for Nebraska here. It's sunny and nice outside, so I'm going to be sunny and nice today on the radio. It's very similar with this. With year three, a lot of unknowns, you weren't sure about Penn State. I think Penn State was predicted to maybe win 6 or 6.5 last year. And you had to have one of those breakthrough wins.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it against Ohio State, and it flipped the whole year. Otherwise they're 8-4, 9-5.
And I felt like that would have been
9-4.
I felt like that would have been the Wisconsin win last year for the Husker team, they been able to finish it.
So I think this team is far enough along, even with some of its newer parts, to get a breakthrough win. And I think you would constitute breakthrough win as beating Wisconsin.
Yeah, and they've only had 2 seasons under their belt here, but like, what team are we going to get? The first season where they didn't start well but finished strong, or the second season where they started strong,
you have
and
a
didn't
happy,
end well. You need to have it all come together.
You're going to have a team that I think will start okay. They won't start like last year because you're not returning a bunch of people. But I think you're going to have a team that by the time the year hits the midpoint, post bye week after Ohio State, I think they kick it into gear and they get really comfortable on offense and on defense, and I think they finish strong.
It's a tough schedule to finish strong with.
No, so, but they need to.
I know they need to, but Penn State, Minnesota,
I think
Iowa,
that drives
Northwestern
fans crazy. Is if they limp through November, that fries Nebraska fans. So that's where I'm at. I'm going to say 8, I'm going to say 8, even if they do lose to Oregon, because I think they'll be good enough to get through Minnesota. They'll get by Northwestern, and then I think they'll get Iowa at home, and they'll get Wisconsin. I think there's a high chance they could play for the Big Ten championship. Because if you beat Wisconsin and Iowa, they're both at home. Mm-hmm. You beat Northwestern. Are you getting sick over yourself on a Friday night in Champaign?
Probably.
Are you losing a road game, but looking ahead to Penn State against Minnesota? That's after you beat Northwestern?
We'll see.
That over-under number's important now that it's at 7.5. And how would you bet it if you're a Nebraska fan here and now? You got to make the call now. And I know your response is, look, I need to know how fall camp is gone. I need to know that everyone's healthy and doing okay. I'm not betting right now in May. That's fine. So Nebraska has been able to load the bases. Big Ben is on first. The Iowa head coach looks like somebody stole his seeds. And there is just one out. Nebraska down 2. We will see how this transpires. Mike Babcock coming up. Bill Dolman on the way with Hail Varsity Radio.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Husker Baseball. Bases full of Huskers as they are trying to tie this thing up in the top of the ninth. We bring on Mike Babcock, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Babbers, what type of ball game were you expecting today?
I wasn't expecting this. Ryan Erickson, the Iowa starter, that's his of his career. He went 7 2/3 innings. That's the best he's done in his career. And I was impressed with how he pitched. But Nebraska, and they've got the bases loaded here in the ninth with 2 out. But, every one of Nebraska's hits has been a signal to this point, 12 hits. They've had opportunities. They going into the ninth, they had left 11 runners on base. Kind of all the things that have been problems. Now they left 14 runners on base, and that's over with.
Strikeout to end the ball game for Nebraska, and they lose 2-0 to Iowa. So they'll have to turn it around. Nebraska plays tonight again.
Yeah, Nebraska plays again tonight against Maryland, and then you're going to go with Jake Myers,
mm-hmm.
And that becomes then a problem because now Iowa has basically. I think in the 8-7 victory against Maryland, they used 3 pitchers. The Hawkeyes did, and they used 3 pitchers a day. So I think they're in pretty good shape. And you would have to beat them twice to get to the championship game. So it was one of those games where. We've seen it before, the kind of inconsistency. Nebraska in the third inning had runners at first and second, nobody out. Didn't get anything in. In the fifth, they had runners at first. In the third inning, it was first and third, nobody out. In the fifth inning, it was first and second, nobody out, and they couldn't advance them on a sacrifice, popped out.
Mm-hmm.
So they had opportunities, and then the last 2 innings they left the bases loaded in both those situations. And I think that of their 12 hits, 7 or 8 of them came with 2 outs. So, that's not the way you want to approach it, and that's not Nebraska offensively that we've seen here of late.
Mike Babcock with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska baseball. Mike, you think the day off kind of cooled him off?
You know, I don't think so. And some of it's matchups, and Nebraska just hadn't matched up very well against Iowa for whatever reason. I don't really have an answer for that, but I didn't see what the pitch count was for Erickson, but it didn't seem to me like Nebraska made him throw a lot of pitches. You know, they didn't make him work quite the way that Darren Erstead probably would have liked. And again, when you're only getting base hits with two outs, and none of those hits were for extra bases. That's the other thing. And it's tough too, because you get a good pitching performance from Berkhamper, mm-hmm. and then Matt Waldron comes on, and gosh, I think he struck out five guys, and pitched shutout ball. So you get a good pitching performance. You couldn't have asked for a whole lot better than that, and still you can't get any runs to support them. So it was a tough thing all the way around, and it puts Nebraska obviously in a difficult situation now because you play the late game tonight against Maryland, so you're playing. So Nebraska's playing twice today, and Maryland's only playing once. That's a difficult situation.
Looking ahead towards the regional, if the Huskers were to lose tonight, bow early a little bit in the Big Ten, do you think that would hurt their seeding at all, or do you think it's pretty much set with their Big Ten regular season championship?
Boy, you know, I would say I don't think it's pretty much set, but I don't really understand the dynamics of that stuff. You know, at one point I thought that there was a good chance that the Big Ten would get five teams in the NCAA. Now, I sort of question that. Depending upon who ends up winning the tournament, it might only be four. But I don't have a good sense of that, and I don't know. I don't know how that's going to affect. I guess I would say the same thing about Michigan. Michigan comes in with a good RPI and goes 0-2, and so does it affect where Michigan is? I would guess that it probably does, but it's hard to say.
I look at Michigan too. I mean, their record coming into this thing was 42-14 or something.
Yeah,
something super impressive. I mean, they looked on paper, they look phenomenal. I don't know their non-conference. But you know that you're in that 40 to not even 20 ratio of wins to losses in college baseball. You're pretty well respected. You look at Michigan, you look at Maryland, Nebraska. Mike, if you were to kind of round out the field, I mean Iowa, Minnesota. Is it out of the realm? I mean, say Iowa wins this thing, they're in. Does that slight somebody on the bubble, or does that just give the Big Ten a fifth?
Well, yeah, I think maybe it gives them a fifth, but, you know, here's the thing. Minnesota, now the last RPI I saw for Minnesota was in the 70s.
Okay.
So, that's probably, I'm thinking, you know, maybe Minnesota is probably going to have to do something pretty dramatic here. Losing today didn't exactly help Minnesota. So, I think at this point, I would say Minnesota's probably the odd man out on that deal.
Okay.
If so much of that is RPI, and when your RPI is over 70 and you just lost to Northwestern in a tournament, that's you probably got to win the tournament to get that automatic bid into the NCAA. So, I don't think that's probably a good situation there. For Minnesota.
So Myers will go tonight for Nebraska, and you look at the Huskers here. Babers, what's kind of impressed you most about this team? I know we talked to you earlier in the week, and we're all still kind of in the, wow, this is pretty cool for Nebraska baseball for Coach Erstead. That said, the opportunity here for a Big Ten titles, in the postseason would be awesome, too. I mean, Nebraska fans, you know how they get. You get a conference title in the regular season, visions of Omaha come to mind.
Yeah. Well, and I would say the same thing, Chris, that I said earlier in the week. I mean, it's been a resilient Nebraska team, so I look for that resiliency to be the thing that you want to hang your hat on here. And now with the tournament situation that Nebraska's in, it's been a resilient team. It's been a team that's come back. The grinding or whatever that Erstad talks about. So I don't dismiss the possibility that Nebraska could come back now out of a loser's bracket and get into the championship game of the tournament. But that's the thing, I guess. If that resiliency shows up again, there you go. But you can't leave 14 runners on base, and all your hits are singles, and the majority of them come with two outs. That's not going to work. So you're going to have to do a better job of that, obviously.
Mike, what's coming up this weekend with Hail Varsity, and what can folks look forward to here in June for the yearbook?
Well, we've got a feature on the defense. We've got a nice feature on Nick Stoltenberg. We've got some analytics stuff. Brandon Vogel does such a remarkable job with that stuff. I learn something every time I read anything he writes. So, we're going to have that. And just a lot of work goes into that yearbook, because you want to have good position breakdowns. And that's a ever-changing thing, and it's going to change again come fall camp. So we've tried to be as particular as we can be with that stuff, keeping in mind that there are going to be some young guys who are going to show up in the fall, and there are going to be some guys that are going to make some improvement, I think, over the summer, their commitment. So all those things go into putting together a yearbook and try to make it timely at the same time.
Well, Babbers, thanks for talking a little baseball with us. Thanks for jumping on. And it may work out still for Nebraska baseball, but a tough one today.
Yeah, it was tough. And I'm sorry I couldn't be talking about something a little more positive.
But, no worries, man. It was a good ball game.
I mean, everyone you got to credit Iowa.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I thought this thing would be one of those softball game type scores where it's 12-10, slugfests.
Well, Nebraska's what, 36 runs in the previous two games.
Yeah.
And Iowa had an 8-7. I think it was 8-7 against Maryland. So you figured there'd probably be some runs scored. But yeah, credit the pitchers on both sides.
Absolutely, Babbers. We'll catch up with you next week, bud.
Good talking to you.
Thanks
buddy.
A lot. There he is. Mike Babcock with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We have a guest edition here in 5 minutes. Vince Powers is going to join us, Vince Powers Law. He will join us to discuss what is going to happen or what's likely to happen with Stanley Morgan Jr. This report from KETV in Omaha. Stanley Morgan Jr. arrested on felony drug charge in the state of Florida. Again, this is from KETV Newswatch 7. Stanley Morgan Jr. found with 21.4 grams of marijuana and drug paraphernalia after a traffic stop. Antonio Reed also in the car with him. This was back in May, on May 6th. May 6th is when this happened in Florida. So we will get the legal side from Vince Powers, Vince Powers Law. Next here on Hail Varsity Radio.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks in short notice for a brilliant legal mind to join Hail Varsity Radio, Vince Powers. Vince Powers Law, at Vince Powers on Twitter. With this, we are talking about Stanley Morgan Jr., a traffic stop in May in Florida, 21.4 grams of marijuana found along with paraphernalia. Vince, thanks for your time. You have seen this story, and what is your reaction, and specifically your legal reaction to this when you think about Stanley Morgan Jr.?
It's a non-story. It's on the positive side, it's proof Nebraska still is a big-time football program that they would run such a story. But he had in Florida, the law is 20 grams. If you're caught with 20 grams or less, it's a misdemeanor. More than 20 is a felony. We're talking less than an ounce. It's a $100 fine up here. He'll most likely, it looks just from the newspaper or the online report, the stop might have been a little funky, saying he didn't come to a complete stop, but if it was a serious charge, there'd be a motion to suppress to see if the officer had the right to stop him or not. But he was very polite to the officer. He said, yeah, it's my pot. I bought it, paid $100 for it, all of which, when the prosecutor looks at it, I assume they'll offer him pretrial diversion. He'll, you know, do some community service work. But, you know, and maybe he'll learn, I guess the advice is, go have your vacation in Colorado.
Vince Powers with us, Hail Varsity Radio. How difficult is that to juggle clients from Nebraska? That
it's a real simple matter. I mean,
okay,
this is again, the fact that it's a felony is a serious matter, because any time it's a felony, which, you know, means more. A felony, for those who don't know, is means it's punishable by a year or more in prison. But in Florida, the county he's in has pretty lax marijuana laws. Florida's got crime. I mean, they have real problems. And the last thing they want to do is worry about somebody with 21 grams. And maybe if they weigh it, it comes in less than 20, then it's a misdemeanor. And which here in Nebraska, it's a $100 fine generally, or you get a citation. So it's a story because, I mean, and remember, 28 grams and an ounce, so it's less than an ounce. It's a very minor offense. He apparently was very polite to the officer, told him, you know, what happened. The prosecutor takes a look at it, goes, all right, you know, let's move on. The only, you know, occasionally there's a problem when you're a celebrity, and in this day and age, football players, and, you know, if you go to Nebraska, you're a bit of a celebrity, so you get held to a different standard, a higher standard. But this prosecutor in Florida, you know, he's at his desk, okay, has somebody who stabbed somebody who shot somebody, guy's got 21 grams of marijuana, get rid of this, you know. And in fact, just to give you an idea, I represented a guy from Florida who was up here, and he was harvesting ditchweed. And every time I would see him, he'd go, why are they holding me in jail? I said, well, in Maui, you had over 100 pounds of pot. He goes, but it grows. It ought to be legal. And he was doing a time in Florida prison. I said, how'd you get out of prison? You were convicted of manslaughter. He said, well, you know, the prisons are too crowded, so they kicked me out. And then he gave me, you know, really good advice. That's one of the nice things about being a lawyer. You get good advice. He goes, Vince, whatever you do, if you're ever in Atlanta, don't rob drug dealers. Bad business in Atlanta because the cops shoot to kill. I said, well, thanks, Maui. And he went on, you know, and he ran the Lincoln jail. And the point being, Florida has some very violent crime, and this is just a very blip. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, I suppose they'll have to do something with it internally with the football. I don't know why they would. I mean, you got to remember, marijuana is legal in a number of states. It'll be more legal as we go forward. So I would say this is something that should not even be a blemish on his record. It's not like a DUI or something. He wasn't driving while intoxicated or under the influence, and he had 21 grams of pot. It's just not a story.
Vince Powers with us, Hail Varsity Radio, VincePowersLaw.com, @Vince_Powers on Twitter. Vince, thanks for a few minutes here jumping on and providing a legal analysis for this with the story. I appreciate the time, sir.
Hey, you bet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. There he is. thanks to Vince Powers. A statement out right now from the University of Nebraska Athletic Department. And here is the statement. Head coach Mike Riley and the athletics department are aware of a recent incident in Florida involving Stanley Morgan Jr. We will have no additional comment until we have all information regarding this matter. We have all the information regarding this matter. So they're kind of gathering facts is what it says.
And Michael Bruns here from 24/7 Sports is reporting it's already been reduced to a misdemeanor.
Okay.
So initially it was a felony, but now the prosecutor has ruled it a misdemeanor.
Because of the what Vince was saying, the amount and the lax laws. So and the way the story reads here, Channel 7's report here, and this is what they got initially on May 6th, per the police report, that it was felony, but it's now misdemeanor. And what Vince is reiterating, Vince Powers Law, just with us here a minute ago on Hail Varsity Radio, says that Vince's take is not a big deal.
Yeah, non-story.
It'll be a misdemeanor, pretrial, and 20 grams is the cutoff. So that's the rundown on that. Now, we'll see what is going to be the response from Nebraska, from Coach Riley, and then from some of the team members. Stanley, you don't even have to get into his value on field and what he thought of by his teammates on and off the field. And it's a real discussion you got to have with teens today, where there are some states that have legal marijuana laws, some don't, and your family and their background and what they think of use. Is it something you do, you don't do? I am adamantly against Junior buying gummy bears. He's in Colorado now. Seriously. Don't jack with it. Even if they look cool and they want your picture. No gummy bears for you, Junior. So that's something that needs to be discussed with Stanley and Coach Riley and the powers that be at the University of Nebraska. So Keith Mann has a statement out. They're still gathering information. No additional comment from Nebraska. Vince Powers. Vince Powers Law says this is a non-story, not a big deal. And it'll be a misdemeanor, $100 fine. We are out of time for this segment. A little Law and Order with Vince Powers. God love him. A quick timeout. We'll wind down hour one on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Coming up, Bill Dolman, 15 minutes away. Jeremiah Searles will join us at 5:25. And then the Friday forecast. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Bill Dolman, 10 minutes away. He's down at the Big 12 baseball tournament. Husker baseball having to regroup and get a W tonight. Tough one against Iowa. Great pitching by Iowa. Thanks to Vince Powers. Joined us about 5 minutes ago. His thoughts on Stanley Morgan and the misdemeanor down in Florida with marijuana possession and paraphernalia. Vince was using his expertise in criminal law and does not believe this will be a big deal or a story, as he puts it. We'll have some of those comments and quotes from Vince Powers on this shortly here. TJ working diligently on that. Bill Dolman coming up. Jeremiah Searles is 30 minutes away. Klausburn and the Friday forecast. The question that remains once Nebraska gets ready to share their thoughts on this, is, you know, what's next for Stanley when it comes to punishment by the University of Nebraska. And again, a statement from Keith Mann about 10 minutes ago. The head coach, Mike Riley, and the athletic department aware of the recent incident in Florida involving Stanley Morgan Jr. They will have no additional comment until we have all information gathering this in this matter. So they're gathering info. So there you go. Let me tell you about some info on a way to save money on diamonds. Yes. Sauter Heyman. Rick, your friends at Sauter Heyman. And they are Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. And they're 10 to 40% less than earth-mined diamonds. They're very beautiful. They have all the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds, but they are a little bit less. And see how beautiful they are. See how affordable they are. Pure-grown diamonds, some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. And you can find them with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Pure-grown diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown. South Point Pavilion, also in Lincoln. Or out west, your friends in Grand Island. Can log on, SauterHeyman.com, YourBestRing.com. We will get into the Cavs and Warriors. Part of the forecast, we will dive into Nebraska baseball, some Nebraska football thoughts. Vegas amending their numbers, their over-under numbers to 7.5. Get Bill Dolman's thoughts on that. And a great message coming up from Jeremiah Searles and Tyson's Treasure Chest.org. Golf tournament coming up middle of July that Searles and his wife Emma very, very passionate about. Your chance to do some more golf with some Husker standouts, people who care and give back and help that fight against pediatric brain cancer. So that's all coming up next hour. And you can log on HailVarsity.com, find out more. Get a recap of Nebraska baseball in the tough one against Iowa today. Brandon Vogel will have that. Mike Babcock will be all over that. And some thoughts and comments, too, on the Stanley Morgan Jr. situation. All coming up, hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get big, big!
We get big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks to Vince Powers joining us about 20 minutes ago. His legal expertise on Stanley Morgan Jr.'s charges down in Florida. Thanks to Vince. Miss Thank can log on HailVarsity.com for the podcast. Jeremiah Searles coming up. We bring in and we bring on the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Mr. Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill Dolman of Big 12 Baseball right now. Billy D, how are you?
I'm doing quite well, enjoying watching the Big 12 Conference Baseball Tournament right now. We're in the loser's bracket day. I have, and I don't know who I have later on tonight, but I got a game going on later on tonight.
Baseball in the Big 12 is still pretty rocking.
Well, it's the best conference in the country this year based on RPI. They have six teams ranked in the top 25 RPI-wise. You have two teams that may well be national seeds in Texas Tech and TCU, although both of them have lost the games in this tournament. TCU and Kansas, that's who I have tonight. But no, it's been a very good league. I think the thing that they might be disappointed in with this tournament at Bricktown Ballpark, which is a fabulous facility, is there's just not a lot of people here.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Oklahoma State qualified because they bring a lot of people. Kind of like Iowa State in basketball or Wyoming in the Mountain West. No matter where their team goes, they travel, and Nebraska's in that boat too. But I don't think they've gotten the attendance that they would like to see for the best conference in the country.
It is, and I remember the years that Nebraska was still in the Big 12 and you did the games. And I mean, Nebraska fans, and they've traveled to Bloomington, but they would always travel down to Bricktown. And it was fantastic, and it was an attendance bump big time. And that's where you miss Nebraska quite a bit in the Big 12. And there's been a lot of written work this week, Bill, on Nebraska. And I want to go to a comment by a Kentucky radio guy that was on the Feinbaum show filling in for Paul, and his declaration: because of TV, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Tennessee would never be great again. Great like 93 through 97. What's your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, has anybody ever been as great as 93 through 97 and even into 98? Yeah, Alabama's having a great run right now. But you're talking about the greatest run in the history of college football, and it hasn't been duplicated other than what Alabama's doing right now. Will Nebraska ever get back there? I don't know. I doubt it. 60-3 over that course of time, and it mystified people back then what Nebraska was doing. You know, how many times you hear low population state, 1.5 million, third largest city in Nebraska. How are they getting it done? Well, they got it done, and they did it the Nebraska way. Nebraska's a national brand. So will there ever be that five-year run again? No, probably not. But will Nebraska continue to be prominent? Absolutely. Part of the reason is Nebraska fans are everywhere. Nebraska natives, Nebraska grads leave the state. They go to all parts of the country, border to border, coast to coast. And so wherever the Huskers show up, their fans show up because in all likelihood, there's a lot of people in that area. Nebraska fans, or Nebraska's not going to go run away and hide because TV has changed dramatically. Nebraska's always been at the forefront of college athletics, going back to the mid-1990s when Bill Byrne came in and really kind of transformed the program. I don't think you're going to see that run. But you are always going to see Nebraska being a prominent program, and it really doesn't matter what the sport is. Volleyball, football, baseball, men's basketball is going to get there, gymnastics, track and field. Wherever Nebraska goes, no matter the sport, people are interested because it's Nebraska. At home, we wear the white hat. Around the country, some people think we have wear the black hat, and that's fine. Nebraska's in the conversation. It's the same with Texas. It's the same with Ohio State, Michigan. You know, Nebraska's always going to be there.
So one of his points, though, was that everybody is on TV now. Like, Nebraska used to be the only team, 70s, 80s, early 90s. There was only a handful of teams, and one of them was Nebraska. And I think that does hurt them now that everybody else is on TV. For, like, example, celebrity Kevin James on King of Queens, he would mention a lot, hey, let's turn on the Nebraska game. So, like, I think that was a way to get, like, East Coasters, people who weren't in around the Midwest.
I was watching Leah Remi, but good for you paying attention to Kevin.
Well, I was watching her, too. But, you know, a lot of people on the East Coast or West Coast, they were watching Nebraska because they're only the only choice. Now you have everybody can choose what game do they want. So do you think that one of his points was that everybody's on TV, that hurts Nebraska? Do you agree with that?
Okay, everybody's on TV now. How many national championships is Oregon State in? Utah? Murray State? Everybody's on, but that doesn't mean that everybody's watching every game. There are still people who are drawn to the big-name teams at the big... all throughout the course of the season. Why is it that ESPN, ABC, Fox, whatever nation is carrying college football or whatever the sport might be, why do they pick certain games? Because they know people are going to watch. Why is it that Nebraska finds its games on Saturday night primetime ABC or Wisconsin and Nebraska, whatever the case might be? When it comes time to choosing games, the big networks pick the big names, and they want the big games, but Nebraska is always going to be in two or three of the marquee games every year, unless there's a complete and total drop-off, which I don't see happening based on the recruiting rankings. Nebraska is always going to be in that 20 or so names where who are they playing this week? You know, when can we get Nebraska on? And how many times during the course of the season do we get Nebraska? It's a big deal to have Nebraska on whatever network has whatever game. It's the same with Ohio State. It's all those names, those teams I named before. Even, and I know the guy talked about, what, Notre Dame and Tennessee or something else.
Mm-hmm.
Those programs still carry some weight, too, especially down south. Tennessee, I think, is always going to be prominent in the southeast. Maybe not so much nationally, but Nebraska, I think, carries a much more national brand than even Tennessee.
Bill,
what are we listening to a guy from Kentucky for?
No, listen, he was filling in for Feinbaum. He threw it out there, and I'm like, I can agree that they'll never do the 60-3 or what Bama's doing right now, but it's because of the coaches and the staffs that Saban's had and that Coach Osborne had. He was the best at what he did, and he had a great staff. Saban's the best at what he does. And he's dealt with turnover. T.O. didn't have a ton of turnover, but Saban's modeled a lot of this after what Nebraska built and how they did it. And it's no accident. You know, it's no accident. Kevin Steele was on his staff twice too. I mean, so it's kind of a Nebraska blueprint with incredible talent within 500 miles of where Tuscaloosa is.
I'm an NRA guy. All right. Second Amendment all the way, but Nebraska needs to put it down on the table and not pick it up again by utilizing these stupid alternative uniforms.
Okay.
And I mean this in all sincerity, okay? I know we've had some fun with it. You know I hate it. Maybe, yeah. Okay, on the road, you wear them. But when people are flipping the channel on a Saturday afternoon and they come across a Nebraska football game and they see that uniform, that end, and that crowd, they know damn well, first thought, that that's Nebraska. I remember sitting in our newsroom in Houston, and Nebraska's playing somebody, and they had those Pied Purple People Eater maroon uniforms on. And people are going, who's that?
It was against Illinois. Nobody was watching.
Okay, but who's that? Who's that? When they wear those things, that are those uniforms that don't just scream out to you, Nebraska, You are damaging the brand. One of the great selling points of Nebraska football and Nebraska athletics in the state of Nebraska is that sea of red on a Saturday and seeing that football team in its red, its white, and its white helmet, white cowboy hat with the red end on it. And when you all of a sudden start messing with the logo, you might as well start selling new Coke again. I mean that sincerely. Wear that alternative crap on the road. But when the most identifiable thing for our state is the sea of red and the uniform of the football team, you don't want people second-guessing going, who's that? What game is this? 99% of the time, when you turn on that channel and you look at that, you go, that's Nebraska. Even people who aren't Nebraska fans, people who are Calabrasca kids out in, you know, Southern California, they turn on the TV, they go, that's Nebraska. And when you start messing with that, then you start messing with the identity of being who Nebraska really is.
Bill, wanted to ask you here. You have a report that is out on junior wide receiver Stanley Morgan Jr., misdemeanor drug charges when he was down in Florida. I don't know if you've seen this or had a chance to read through the report. What's your immediate reaction right now?
I just scanned a story about an hour ago, and it's very disheartening. It's incredibly disappointing. And I think this is a moment in which Mike Riley has to step forward and say, this is, you know, what this program is about. No one person is above punishment, severe punishment. You said misdemeanor. Whether the story I read was felony. You had Vince Powers on earlier. I'm sure he has looked much more in depth into what's going on. Mm-hmm. The bottom line to me is somebody made a terrible mistake and has to pay the price. And it can't be a lesser price because he's a prominent football player. And if it comes to maybe not playing at all next year, so be it. Is it too dramatic to say that he shouldn't be a part of the football program any longer? I don't think so. But I think that you need to really make a statement and say, look, if you're going to put yourself so far above the program and the state you represent, then you need to suffer the consequences. And if the team suffers for it, so be it.
All right, Bill, I want to end it here on a basketball question. It's pretty simple. Who do you like in the finals, the Cavs or the Warriors?
Well, there's no question that Nebraska, being the sports capital of the world with Teron Liu, you know, learning the game of basketball in Lincoln, I think that we all have to pull for the Cleveland Cavaliers, although I think maybe this year as opposed to a year ago, Golden State is better. And I said it a long time ago, I didn't think that Kevin Durant was going to be a benefit to them. I was wrong. He's been very good in the playoffs for them. I think they're playing the best right now. But I think you got to go for the Cavs and hope that Teron Liu can get it done again, as well as my good friend Damon Jones, who is one of the assistant coaches and a great guy too. So I'm pulling for the Cavs because Nebraska is the capital of the basketball world.
Bill, folks can catch you tonight at 7, Big 12 Baseball, correct?
I don't know. You tell me. 7 o'clock? Is that when my game is?
That's what the text said. He's like, I'm not on till 7.
Okay. All right. I guess I got some time. What else you want to talk about?
Well, no. I mean.
Well, I'm curious. How are you tight with Damon Jones?
He was down in Houston, and he was getting into he's a Houston guy, and he was getting into television and had an opportunity to do some shows with him and work with him on his TV skills. And he's an absolute great personality, a tremendous guy. And he really was somewhat ambivalent. He's one of LeBron James' best friends.
Oh, yeah.
And when James went to Cleveland, he basically told the organization, I want Damon on staff. And I remember talking to Damon, and Damon was wanting to stay in television because he's got the right personality for it. He'd fit in right in with those guys on TNT. Mm-hmm. And it just became a situation where he goes, brother, when the big man calls, you got to go. And so he went, and he's got himself another ring. And, you know, I enjoy following him and having some fun and talking about how he has led the Cavaliers and turned LeBron James into the player that he is today.
Well, you got to go with credit, give credit where credit's due, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But he's a really good guy.
All right. Billy D, you have a great call tonight. Enjoy the Big 12 baseball tournament down in Bricktown. I'd say go to KD's, but it's not open anymore.
That's true.
Down there, but hit Mickey Mantle's up across the street from where you're at.
You're right.
Get a giant steak. And if it's Mickey Mantle's, they sure serve Jack Daniels. So
if nothing else, you know your Spartacus and your pub crawls.
I do. Two things I'm good at. All right. Bill, you're awesome, brother. Be good.
All right, go Big Red.
See you.
Thanks, Bill.
Oh, he thinks I like leather. That's just all there is to it. Getting text messages from the bunny.
Hmm. Dinner plans?
Where are we eating?
I was right.
Where are you taking me?
Is it a Lazari's night for you?
It might be. No, that's a good question. We don't have a grill or a smoker anymore, because that's the easy answer right now. Totally.
Stored away somewhere?
Yeah, Joel's got it. Bless his heart. He's not called us to come over and visit it. So, no, yeah, I want a grill, and I don't have a grill, so I'm weeping here. We'll figure out something. Searles is up next. We'll get caught up with our favorite Viking. Friday forecast is on the way. And hope you're doing okay on this holiday weekend with Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Caller 4, though, right now, a 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Insight, info, and recruiting analysis. Caller 4. HailVarsity.com subscription. 6 months, 466-3776.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, with us. And sometimes we'll play that game, Where is Searles? Jay, how are you? How's the afternoon going?
It's going well, man. It's good to be back in Lincoln for the weekend and hanging out. And things are going well. Finished up first week OTAs on Thursday, so things are looking well and doing well for me lately.
Well, I'm happy, man. That's good to hear. You feeling good?
Yeah, I am. I'm feeling good. It's been body's holding up pretty well. I'm feeling strong, and so things are going really well. And how about yourself? What are you doing this beautiful weekend?
Oh, it's you know what? This weekend's going to be a good time. We are baseball free, which is, I mean, you know, it's nice to have a weekend off with is what I'm saying. I'm going to swing the clubs. I'm going to help my mother celebrate her 49th birthday again, and then I might bump into you. So I'm excited about that. That'll be a good
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Well, I wanted to spend a few minutes, and I know Tyson's treasure chest, the foundation, is super important to you and Emma, and I know a golf tournament's coming up here in the middle part of July, July 15th, a four-man scramble tee off for Treasures. Let's talk about that for a little bit and tell Tyson's story and your involvement, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tyson's Treasure Chest is a spinoff, so to speak, or a branch of the Team Jack. Not a separate branch, but the same idea. Mm-hmm. Tyson was a young boy who had pediatric brain cancer, who I was lucky enough to have the privilege to tour around the facility of Nebraska back when I was a sophomore, I believe. And I was able to meet his family and meet Liz and Austin and develop a bond with them right away. And then when Tyson had passed, we stayed close, and we saw each other at the galas every year. And last year was actually my first time being involved with the Tyson's Treasure Chest Foundation with the golf tournament last year that you actually got a chance to swing the clubs with me in. And then so this year, him and myself decided we want to become more involved, and we're now on the board of directors for Tyson's Treasure Chest. And we also are the platinum sponsors for this year's event. So I'm looking right now is trying to find people for sponsorships, and I'm working at finding people to help sponsor holes or to give gifts for the silent auction or the raffle. And so it's a different type of involvement this year. Instead of just kind of showing up, we really wanted to put more effort into it. We wanted to really get it out there more. So we're really kind of working this year on helping put it all on instead of just participating.
Well, that's kind of you, and that impact is lasting with Tyson. Tyson's Treasure Chest Foundation can log on. Tyson'sTreasureChest.org is where you can go to find out more. And, of course, Mr. Searles and Mrs. Searles, given their time, and you can donate as well. Tyson'sTreasureChest.org. Be a part of the golf tournament. Be a part of the sponsorship opportunity. And it is July 15th. It is just an amazing event of kind of fellowship, and you spend time with people that really like to not only give back but also raise money for a tremendous cause. Jay, the golf is a lot of fun, but the proceeds that are raised, the awareness that's brought up, and then just the bonding that can happen is very special, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, the golf is just it's the excuse to get us all together for this cause.
Sure.
I mean, the golf is a great time, and it's a fun time out there. But when everyone's together afterwards, and we're in the banquet hall, and we're eating and sharing stories, and just kind of everyone's there for the same cause. This is pediatric brain cancer, this terrible, terrible disease, and we're all there. And it's fantastic to see the outpouring of love and the outpouring of affection that you see from these people that come, with these guys, people that donate, and these people that buy the auction items, and you just know that the proceeds are going to the right spot. And it's something that has been near and dear to my heart ever since I toured Tyson around, and then I was lucky enough to be with Jack on the field that spring game and be a part of Team Jack still on the Husker alumni chapter. And so it's something that's, I mean, it's a part of me now, and it's a part of Emma and myself now. And so it's great to reach out. It's great to be a part of, and it's really fun. As terrible as the disease is, it's fun to be a part of with this great group of people. And if you guys are looking for options, then please reach out to me on Twitter at Searles71_HSKR. If you're looking for maybe just donation items for the golf tournament, or if you have a whole sponsorship option, please feel free to reach out to me. We can chat about different options.
You can also log on to TysonsTreasureChest.org to find out more info. Jay, what was that like for you to give the tour to Tyson?
It was honestly, Smitty, it was my first tour with a young boy like that who was terminally ill. And I was young. I was only a 19-year-old kid. And I was able to tour him around. And there's a great picture. I was able to lift him up out of his wheelchair. And he actually was able to hit the horseshoe.
Wow.
And that's a picture that stuck with me for a very, very long time. And I still get a little emotional just talking about it. And it's something that has stuck with that family. And they have a picture of all of us when he came. He took a picture with all of us. And they show me it's up in their youngest son's room now. And so, I mean, to hear when he passed away just a few months after that, it was really hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard on all of us that were there that day. And so just to still be involved with something that happened so long ago is the reason why we are. It's because that did hit so close to myself. And then Emma jumped right on board when I told her about it. And my parents have got to sit. My mom actually came to the Team Jack Gala and got to sit with Liz and Austin at our table. And so she got to become a part of that wonderful family. And it's just continuing to grow and to continue to spread awareness and continue to spread, I mean, really just to spread awareness for this disease, because the more people that are talking about it, the more funding that'll come in.
Jeremiah Searles, few minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio. August 15th is the Tyson's Treasure Chest golf outing, a four-man scramble. TysonsTreasureChest.org. Can hit Searles up on Twitter, too. He is about fundraising right now for an amazing cause when it comes to whole sponsorships or part of the sponsorship for the Tyson's Treasure Chest golf outing July 15th. Searles, I want to talk about golf for a second. Not a real easy transition, but how is your game compared to the last Tyson's Treasure Chest scramble? How is Spencer's game? Have you guys upped your game? I'm going to start working on upping mine, but I'm wondering how you guys are off the box. Okay, I'm going to call you out publicly. Is all I'm saying.
Oh, well, tomorrow's going to be my first time out in since the Tyson's Treasure Chest event last year, so we'll see. I've been to the range a couple times, but haven't been out on the holes yet. So tomorrow I'm golfing 9 with Jay Cotton in the morning, so that'll be a good time. My buddy Zach Karen drove in with me. He plays for the Vikings as well.
Cool.
So he drove down, and so we're going to go out and hit the things around and probably chase balls more than we are actually hitting them, but it's time to start dusting off the old clubs again.
That'll be good. There's going to be a Butch sighting. I'm excited about that. How's Butch at golf?
He's actually, since he's lost a lot of weight, he can bend a little bit better, so he's not bad.
You just threw out since he's not massive anymore.
Yeah, he's not 315 pounds anymore. He's down to like 250, so he can actually swing the golf clubs pretty well.
That's pretty good. Well, good for Butch. That's funny. You got a lot of news this week regarding Nebraska football between a guy that was filling in for Feinbaum saying Nebraska will never be great again. Not just about Nebraska, but Tennessee and Notre Dame were the three programs he listed. You have Stuart Mandel's article we talked about yesterday with kind of a hierarchy of ranking, and he dropped Nebraska from the list of the kings of college football. It's kind of more of a medieval theme to it, but I wanted your response to it. You are loud and proud Nebraska guy, and when you hear that said, what's your reaction? People doubting the program ever rising to prominence again.
It sucks to hear. I mean, it's not fun to hear people say that, but at the same time, we've struggled in big games in the past. I mean, even when I was there. And I think that we have this negative stigma about us out in the country right now. And I think that people are just more and more harping on that. But I would love nothing more than to see us prove them all wrong. And I think that's where the only way that the doubters are going to stop. That's the only way that all this negativity that comes towards our program is going to stop. And so I'm hoping that this year is a turnaround year with the way that everything's going, and we can go win and compete and maybe win our division and get back to the Big Ten title. And once we start winning division titles again, and then we start winning conference titles, that's when the talk of us rising back to the top is going to come back.
What did you think? You were part of the transition from Big 12 to Big 10. What was your mindset? Hey, we're just switching zip codes, or did you think it'd be difficult?
I thought it would be hard. I mean, because it's two different. I mean, back then it was very two different styles of play. I mean, the Big 12 was a lot more run and gun and see how many points you could score, and the Big 10 was we're going to pound the rock and we're going to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think once we shifted, but I mean, we were competitive in both leagues. I mean, our last 2 years in the Big 12, we won our division. Our second year in the Big 10, we won our division. And since then, we haven't won our division, but we've been close.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, close is only good in horseshoes and hand grenades, as everyone says. But I mean, I don't think we're far off. But the problem is, if you're not winning those conference championships and if you're not winning your division championships, you get a negative stigma when you are the school like Nebraska, Tennessee, Notre Dame, who has such a rich history of being very good with football.
Searles, to wrap up with Nebraska, when you look at dudes and you line up across from guys that are just freak athletes every day, you also practice with them. You know what it takes to be at the NFL. When you look at Nebraska's roster, not only recruiting, but also the guys on the roster now, athletically, do you think Nebraska's where they need to be?
Athletically, I think they are. But, I mean, it's the same thing that I always say. The stars are great. I mean, they're great. But until you actually get there out on the field, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the development program in Nebraska, and I think that Mark Phillip and those guys do a great job developing guys. And that's when you're really going to start to be able to tell what the athletic level truly is. And I think we saw some flashes over the spring game, guys like J.D. Spielman or guys like Nick Gates, who are like from where they are to what they look like now, Gerald Foster, Tanner Farmer. These guys are big, strong, physical guys from the development. So I think the development part is key, and I'm hoping that that just continues to go with how they develop and how they continue to grow as players, both as with great coaching and with development in the weight room.
Jeremiah Searles, Minnesota Vikings, Hail Varsity Radio. Sign up, be a part of the Tyson's Treasure Chest Golf Outing July 15th, tysonstreasurechest.org, and hit Searles up on Twitter if you're interested in a sponsorship opportunity. Jay, we will see you this weekend, brother. Thanks for a few.
Absolutely, man. Looking forward to seeing you.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Winding down a holiday weekend, Friday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Friday Forecast, Brandon Vogel and Klausburn in a moment. Friday Forecast presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem gambling, call the statewide helpline 1-800-522-4700. The picks today are for entertainment purposes only. Let's get it rocking. Vogues, how we doing?
Doing pretty well. How are you?
Doing okay. Gorgeous weather in eastern Nebraska. Excited to spend the weekend with family and friends. Klausburn, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing just fine. The in-laws are coming to town, and so I'm taking an emergency fishing trip as soon as we get done with this.
Teej, are you sick of me yet?
No, man, we're good.
Okay.
Let's get this rocking and rolling.
Okay, we have two things on the docket, the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals, as Lord Stanley's trophy is within grasp for a couple of clubs. Pittsburgh familiar with it. And then you have three straight finals for the first time in history with the same two teams, Cleveland and Golden State. Now, Cleveland looked incredible last night, and Golden State's had some time off. Teej, we'll start with you here. Game one, I'm not asking you to predict the entire thing. We're going to bleed this thing. You have Cavaliers-Warriors game one. How you feeling on this thing?
Boy, I'm glad it's finally here, because we were worried that the regular season was going to be not good because of the two dominant teams, but it was actually the early rounds of the playoffs that turned out to be really crappy. Look, Golden State is a machine. Cleveland, with the way LeBron is rolling right now. Kevin Love's probably their second best player, although Kyrie's probably played his best two games, the last two playoff games. I've been really impressed with the way Kevin Love is playing. But here's the thing with Golden State. So last year, to get the Cavs off the rocker, or to get Golden State off the rocker, they knocked Curry around. They made Draymond uncomfortable. That's why he got suspended one game, and Klay Thompson was missing shots. But crap, they still have Kevin Durant. So what else are you going to do? So,
real men don't need language like that.
Sorry, Klaus. So with that being said, I think Kevin Durant's going to be too much. But for game one, I like Cleveland to win it. So okay. Cleveland wins 107-101.
Line right now is 7, and of course Thursday is when we tip off, but it's the closest NBA we have. I think Golden State is going to be ultra-juiced for game one. Tipping my hand, I think this will go 7, but I think Golden State gets game one, and they may not get a great performance out of Klay. Draymond may go Stevie Wonder, and Curry could get out-physicaled, but they have Durant, and that's been the equalizer and difference maker. It'll be that way in game one. And Golden State will win it 125-117, a win and barely a cover. I mean, I think it'll be just right there. Vogues, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same boat. I think the expectation level for this series is sky high, given how uninteresting most of the playoffs have been to this point. But I'm not quite sure we get that instant classic in game one. Like the Warriors coming off a little bit more rest. I think they win kind of comfortably and sort of hold serve here in this first one. I'll take them to win and cover 122-110.
All right. And Klaus, what are you thinking here? Are you excited about these NBA finals?
Well, obviously I am. I'm not as excited about the finals as I am about TJ's moved to satellite radio, apparently, but I tell you this, it's a fun fact many people don't know, that a baby that was born the night that the Golden State Warriors clinched their spot in the finals will be able to buy a beer for his buddies by the time it gets started. So that child's going to have a great time, especially, I think, if he's living in the city of Oakland. I think they're going to be well rested. I think they're going to come out strong. And I worry that Teron Lue's got a little too much Danny Knee in him, and he can't win in the first game of a big
one.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to take the Warriors 120 and the Cavaliers 107.
Okay. NHL, Preds and Pittsburgh. I have watched hockey highlights. I appreciate the enthusiasm, but I don't know a ton about hockey. So, Vogue, start us off.
Okay. Nashville is sort of hockey insane right now. And given they got a little bit more of a rest, Pittsburgh obviously went long to take care of Ottawa the other night. I'll take Nashville to get an early win here and sort of make things a little bit more interesting. Give me the Predators 3-1.
Okay, 3-1. And when you look at Pittsburgh, what's their advantage? If you look at the Preds, what's their advantage real quick?
I have no idea. I don't watch near enough hockey for
great
for
answer.
That. The Pens are probably the slightly more talented. And Nashville's one of those sort of classic things. They're a little bit on a free roll. Nobody expected them to be here. Mm-hmm. So does that finally show up, or is that what allows them to play loose and free? These are the great things about a seven-game series.
Absolutely, and I'm going to jump in here on this. I mean, the Preds, I don't believe, have anybody who's played in the finals. Pittsburgh has just recently won one, and it's been them in Chicago that have hoisted the cup. But I think the Preds keep it rolling because it is house money on the 29th, and they'll take a 1-0 series lead. Klausbrunn, what happens here?
Well, first of all, to Brandon's point, Tennessee hasn't been this excited about sports since Bama made it to the national championship game. But let me try to give you a little bit of analysis. Nashville is really riding the strength of their goalie, Pekka Rinne. He's been very hot through the playoffs, and they've got, to me, two of the best defenders in the game, and Roman Josi, and a guy by the name of P.K. Subban is also very good. But the Penguins have maybe the best player in the game in Sidney Crosby, but we saw last round Ottawa was able to shut him down relatively easily with a guy who's probably not even on the level of Josi or Subban. So all things put together, it really looks like Nashville may even technically be the favorite over a beat-up and older Pittsburgh team. But I have to go with the Cornhusker State doctrine, which says if there is anybody from Nebraska in a competition, no matter what the competition, you have to pick them. So the Penguins have Jake Guentzel and Archibald, and so the Penguins win this one 3-1. And it probably still takes them a while to win the series, but they get off to a strong start.
There he is, Klasburn. Deej, you got a coin flip for me?
Yeah, don't watch hockey, won't watch Knicks, but I know Sidney Crosby plays, so I'll pick that team.
Okay, Pittsburgh. Friday forecast brought to you by Gamblers Assistance Program, Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling Choices Treatment Center. If you or a loved one has a problem, dial the statewide helpline 800-522-4700. See you, fellas.
Okay. Can you
hear it? Welcome back to the Hale Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Okay, we've got an update with Husker pitching tonight. Jake Myers, this from Evan Bland of the World Herald. Bland says Myers will not start for Nebraska tonight. Sophomore Ethan Frazier, 2-0, 0.00. I about said GPA, that's not true. ERA.
Frazier.
We got Frazier on the mound. 14 and a third innings pitched. Done well against Creighton. Done well against UNO. Ethan, it's all you, babe.
Yeah.
Go get it handled.
That's a little surprising.
Jakey, you get the elimination game 2 ball tomorrow. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
And Ethan?
Full sash, you cotton. See if it pays off.
Ethan, make it happen. Frazier. You ever try and mimic or sound like Kent Pavelka? He's going, Frazier. I know I do play-by-play and stuff, but I didn't try and do that.
I mean, I'm sure as a kid I did, but...
Well, right.
Not anymore.
We broke...
Until just now.
We broke the... we chipped in and got my father a Father's Day gift, and it was like cut out of Schlesinger... And it was on wood or some sort of plastic where it was Schlesinger diving, barreling forward into the end zone. And if you pushed a button, it had Pavelka's call. Schlesinger inside the 5. He's got the touchdown. It's the touchdown for Nebraska. And Nebraska leads 24-17. I mean, it was just, it's so awesome. It was like 3 minutes. And we wore that poor bastard out growing up.
Yeah.
Every time me and my friends would go downstairs to my dad's bar, walk by it, we'd hit the button.
Yeah.
And then it was Pavelka just losing his mind on that Schlesinger touchdown run, the second one.
Mm-hmm. Some of my latest favorites from Pavelka are the, all right, Husker fans, it's time to twerk. You're into the NCAA tournament. Or, oh, Siobhan, I love you.
I think we have that.
I think we do too.
He's the best. It's
funny. He is.
But yeah, we went from Ethan Frazier starting to Ken Pavelka saying the
greatest
name,
hits.
The name Frazier to how many times we wore out the poor Father's Day gift of Schlesinger inside the 5. Gosh, that was fun. Enjoy time with family and friends this weekend. Hopefully the weather stays well here in Lincoln. And if you're around the state and you're tuning this in, thanks so much for spending time with us here on Hale Varsity Radio. Missed any part? If you're out just boating or if you're out with friends, or you just have some you time, it's you in the lawn, you can download the podcast to HailVarsity.com. Real easy. Just take us with HailVarsity.com, the radio tab, or iTunes will download it for you, or the ESPN 1480 app. All simple. We are here one more round tomorrow morning. Myself, Mark Kranak, the Saturday edition. We had Kranak all cranked up. TJ Henning will be here with muffins. We'll play Guess That Muffin.
It's actually different, so you'll have to guess what it is tomorrow.
No, I can't wait. I love playing that game. And you yourself have a great rest of your weekend with Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Take care.